When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Hey, everybody, welcome to the MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. We got one of the funniest people I know, the greatest comics, Ween Dog.
Thank you.
We got fucking.
That's Ween Dog. I was gonna say
we got Shang, the hilarious.
Little dark. He's a little dark, but he's. I mean,
Shang is a hilarious comedian and a very positive human being, man. Always a very positive man. Very, very positive, which I fucking love.
Well, you know what Shang does? I think changed you and changed me. Not positivity wise, but when you realize you got a tiny person that literally depends on their life. For you. Your whole grind changes.
Dude, even literally, I'll be working out and I do this like fight camp thing. It's like 10 rounds of boxing and it's boxing with cardio and this. And like by round seven, I'm like, I want to go and fucking, so what am I doing? And then I'm like, man, I got a little kid to look that like looks up to me. I can't show my kid it's okay to quit. You know, right. I there's that extra drive. Not that I was quitting before, but now it's like staying up late and working on things. It's just, you have to do it. You have to do it.
There's no gray area, right?
There's no gray area. And it's like, so like my kid, every morning she wakes up, daddy, 4 o'clock in the morning, daddy, 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 screaming. And I go and I get her out of the crib. She goes, daddy. And then I blow on her stomach and I make her laugh. And she goes, pee, pee. I know, new diaper. And then she goes, give me a bottle. I get her a bottle. I go, thank you. And then she's like, put me under your arm. And I sit there and I was like, well, let's put on Coca Melon. And I fall back asleep. It's like, no, like, but it's the best. Like,
right. It's tiring, but it's the best. I think with Cameron, my first, it was harder. The second, I have two boys. So
yeah,
my second one, it was like, I get it. But the first one, I was like, man, I'm tired as fuck. Can't you just go change yourself? This is bullshit. Yeah.
But now my kid's learning different phrases to get me to do things. Like, I was in the room with my wife and her, and I left. And my wife goes, wait, come back. And I came back. And now my kid always says, wait, come back. Wait, come back. She just knows that wait, come back will bring me back into the room. And then the other day, I'm like, I got to go shower. She goes, no, tomorrow. Like, she doesn't even know what tomorrow is, but she knows that it means that I'm not going to do whatever
I need to do. It means come here and please me, because that's little kids. But I think that, and it's funny, when I had my son, I had my oldest son until he started kicking people in the head. I had him going to class. No, and his reasoning was, well, wanted to see if it would work. Like, yeah, like, what it was like, and in class, totally controlled. Never, Master Go would be like, yo, don't do no crazy, no, don't do anything wrong. But then outside of that, he couldn't, you know.
Oh, well, that's anybody. I mean, I've been working on these combinations for like 6 months, fight camp, and I'm not going to go hit anybody or kick anybody because it's kickboxing too. But a couple times, like, a guy, like, threatened me. And I'm like, man, I wonder if – we were at the park, and there was a guy smoking crack. And the teacher was like, hey, get out of here. There are children there. And I'm like, fuck. Do I have to go kick this motherfucker in the face? Like, I was going to see if that kick was
going to. So you think it too. Right. Yeah.
Of course. But yesterday, so during this COVID now, it's just like the whole thing is let's find a park to go to because everything's closed. So I'm looking like, what could I do with a toddler in LA? There was this petting zoo. This was like the most ratchet petting zoo. I went with my friend growing up. Dude, we went there. It was like in the back of a baseball field and like a batting range. There was nobody working. There was one person working there, one Mexican dude working there. Like, he worked everything. There was a carousel. I'm like, how come the I put my kid in the carousel. I'm like, how come the horse isn't going up and down? He stopped it and put her on a horse and went up and down. Right? That's – then they were like –
that's awesome.
There were goats everywhere, baby goats, llamas, but they weren't in the cages. They were just walking around free. I'm like,
smoking cigarettes. They were out walking around smoking cigarettes.
Dude, I'm not kidding. There was a sign saying, enter at your own risk. Animals are unpredictable. Like, that was an actual sign. Like, first of all, life is unpredictable. Like, but then there was a duck there. The duck had an afro. I'm not kidding. And Glozell was like, that's Tyrone the duck. And I had another duck, and he's like, she goes, that's her side chick. Literally her side chick. Like, I was, these animals look so depressed. It was basically like Joe Exotic, but it was kind of a thing. But I never saw a petting zoo where the animals want to be pet. We were the only ones there. Like, the donkey came up to me and started like sitting on my lap. The horse was there. Like I put my 2-year-old on a horse. I'm like, is this even safe? The Juan was the Mexican guy. I was like, oh, okay, okay. I'm like, it was insane, but it was so much fun. I laughed so hard.
It sounds like a blast.
And then like Glozell called, the duck had another duck, and he goes, that's her literal side chick. Which
I think that's so excellent, though. But I mean, you got to do it. I mean, right now, COVID, you got to do it. And I think that's one of the reasons I caught up on all the fights. Like, you ever go back, I went back and watched great fights that I probably wouldn't have if I was gigging as much as I used to be.
Oh, yeah.
I was so lucky to get as much work as I was getting. So I was like, now I can actually sit and watch a fight without thinking, oh, I got to go do a set. Because I was lucky. The Laugh Factory would give me some, you know, the Long Beach and, you know. So I know what you mean. But, like, with my son, the best place to go park-wise is it's not as ratchet. Is one on Fairfax and a third.
Yeah, yeah, we go to that one. But that's where the freaking crackheads were. Three times last Friday. I was there for my kids' ballet class. I was there again to the park. And then they have comedy shows there now. But now it's they have a comedy show. But it's not – I'm like – I asked the promoter. I'm like, hey, whose show is this? They're like, oh, they don't know what's open. So the people are just having shows there. They're not even legal. And then it was very, very black crowd last Friday. And I noticed that with black audiences, like, and this is a very general statement, but like when white audiences, like if you offend them, you can lose them the rest of the show. But I feel like black audiences, they'll be with you on the next joke if it's funny. Like you can piss them off and they'll go, ooh, next joke. They're like, ah, you'll get an applause break. You'll get a boo to an applause break. They're more forgiving or they don't give a
fuck. Oh, no. I've seen you in front of those kind of crowd, you know, a black crowd, mixed crowds.
Yeah.
And they, but you're kind of edgy though.
So yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. No.
Your set is definitely, I remember watching you once and thinking, I think we were in, was it Seattle or was it? It was Seattle.
Yeah,
and I was like, I just thought, Adam gives zero fucks.
Dude, this was a very, very black crowd, and I couldn't see them. Not to be racist, but it was that dark. The lights weren't on, right? And then I'm on stage.
Why would that be racist? That's just, it was dark. I couldn't see darker people.
And I even said that. I go, not only, and then I go, I did a joke about Black Lives. I was watching basketball, the game, and they had Black Lives Matter all over the court. And I'm like, yes, obviously Black Lives Matter, especially in this game. Because without black people, this game's gonna be 3-2 in double overtime. And like black people, they were laughing, but they were like, "Are we allowed to laugh?" Like they were laughing, but it was like they were like, "Should we be laughing?" And then the next joke, I got them back. By the way, so big news: Ween Dog has COVID, right? Yeah.
I mean, it's a 99% chance that I have COVID-19. I'm getting tested tomorrow. But the reason I say this is because my girlfriend got results back today saying that she is positive for COVID-19. And I've been, you know, with her like every single day for the past week. So, but we've heard stories, like even on this podcast, of, you know, people with COVID-19, it's like spending time with people who don't have it and not spreading it. You know, I think this happened with Gilbert Burns. He was like training with somebody. He didn't spread it. So who knows? Everybody feels fine. My girlfriend feels fine. I feel fine. I just have like a, you know, sore throat, runny nose. That could be COVID. Who knows? But
now, have you been around people though?
No, not really. Not at all. I haven't been grocery shopping in a month. No, she hasn't either, really.
So how did she get it?
I don't know. Who knows, dude? How does anybody get it? Does it come through the freaking window at night? You know, who knows?
I mean, normally you're around somebody who has it. That's how you get it. You don't just like, if you haven't been around anybody, you can't just like get it. I don't think.
I don't know.
So now have you guys been wearing masks when you go out?
Yeah, if we're required to, you know, we went to a restaurant on Saturday up in Oxnard, or, you know, you wear a mask walking through the restaurant, but then you take it off when you sit down. So I don't really understand the logic behind that. So that could have been one of the places, you know, but
distance apart.
Now, your girlfriend has been sick before, though. She has underlying health problems.
She has epilepsy. I don't know if that, you know, weakens her immune system. I don't think it does, but
Are you worried though? Are you worried about her?
No, not at all. She'll be fine. You know, I'm worried about, you know, her parents, you know, they're older. My parents are older. So that's really who you got to really worry about when you get this. You got to take extra precautions, you know.
Now, there's a test you can go to at urgent care. They give you the results in 10 minutes. I've been there 3 or 4 times. It's about $100, but it's worth it. You don't have to wait. Because I think the stress of waiting makes it worse. Given that, why don't you go to that after the podcast?
Well, I scheduled an appointment for CVS testing. You know, I have insurance that covers everything.
That's so,
you know, I'm just going to stay here. You know, I might go out to Taco Bell later, you know.
No, don't go anywhere. Do not go anywhere, okay?
Me and my son did the drive-through one where we drove up. It was a pretty decent line, drove right through, got it. And then 8 days later, we got the email.
Yeah, that's the worst. See, that you got to spend the $100 and just get the right away test, which it shouldn't even be $100. They should cover that bullshit.
That's what they're working on. They're working on that right now. But I mean, well, some people are working on it right now.
Dude, when I got the swerve in my nose, when I got the swerve in my nose, I coughed. I sneezed like 9 times in a row because of like the thing. Yeah. I felt so bad for that testing guy because I'm like, I know everybody, every other person is sneezing like crazy. Like, oh my God, that person should, these people should get like what basketball players get. If you're a COVID tester, you should get millions of dollars.
Holy shit. Now I think that it definitely should be money set aside for them, but it's not. But again, we'll hear it tonight.
Well, speaking of which, you have a MAGA shirt on with a wall.
It says Border Wall Building Company. My favorite shirts right here, dude.
That would make sense, Ween, with you. That would make complete sense. Build a wall.
Mexican. Let's build that fucking wall, dude.
Yeah, you are Mexican. And your Mexican parents are they pro-Trump also?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's totally,
but it's interesting. My parents had no political influence on me whatsoever. You know, they didn't tell any, they didn't talk to me about politics my entire life. I just researched all this shit myself and decided I like, you know, most Republican policies as opposed to Democratic policies. That's why I consider myself a Republican, you know. So I think it just makes sense to have stronger, you know, borders for your country if there's a big influx of drugs coming over and coming in illegally and taking advantage of the system.
Aside from that, great fights this weekend.
Yeah, great fights. If Republicans were just like, there's this things like the pro-choice thing. I'm obviously pro-choice. Like, how do you tell a woman whether or not she? I mean, all right. Anyway, the fights. Okay, so
that's what I said. Okay, I wanted to say one thing. I am stunned that Zombie he basically played Zombie's game and beat him at his own game.
I couldn't believe how much better Ortega looked on the feet.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, he looked amazing, which I think that he shaved off his hair, by the way, and put it into his cup because his fucking cup was bulging. I mean, that cup was on like ESPN, ESPN2. It was just the fucking, it was on the History Channel, VH1 Classic. It was just too much.
I was watching Nickelodeon and the shit just came right. I'm like, whoa. But I'm telling you, his placement, the way he actually would step back, his spacing was better than I've ever seen him do it before. Did not think that his jab is sharper than ever before. Zombie's no joke. He has a rock granite head, but he was busting him up. And I think that that's going to be scarier for him because you know what his jiu-jitsu is off the fucking charts. And well, now
he left his camp. He left his camp. He left his boxing coach, went to a different team. That team, I know that like there's like an asterisk around it because of TJ Dillashaw and, you know, what happened with him.
Yeah, that was Dillashaw. That wasn't everybody else. I think
But the team does not get enough credit because between Dillashaw and Juan Archuleta and now Ortega and I mean, there's monsters at that team. Cub Swanson. And it's like you don't hear about that team as much. You always hear about, you know, AKA or ATT or Jackson Wink. That Orange County gym is – they're monsters. They're all around the same weight too. They're all like 135 to 155. You know, they're all right there.
I've been past there twice, and I'm telling you right now, it's just an air of intimidation when you walk into fucking –
That gym is just incredible. And I'm excited about TJ Dillashaw. I think Dillashaw, you know what? I got to say, you know, he took his punishment like a man, you know, or a woman. You can't even say take it like a man anymore. Like a responsible person.
You're canceled.
I mean, he really took it like, you know, he said he owned it. He said, I fucked up. He did 2 years off. He kind of stayed out of the media. And I got to give him credit because, you know, the worst is when guys, they get busted and they go, oh, I didn't know, or maybe they didn't know, but then they get busted.
Jones, are you talking about Jones?
John Jones is so. I think that John Jones is a sociopath, and I love John Jones.
Me too.
But he's one of those. I love him as a fighter, not as a human being.
I was like, yeah, take that back, man.
Yeah, I don't love him as a person. I love him as a fighter, and I still think that, like, they right now, like on MMA fighting, is Khabib the greatest fighter of all time? The answer to that, to me, is no, not yet. If he runs through Gaethje, we could definitely have that conversation. But right now, and if he beats GSP, I would say yes, he's the greatest fighter of all time.
No. But you couldn't even say that with GSP because he's fighting an older GSP. If he fought a prime,
yeah, prime but GSP, if I mean, what do you say? It's
like, listen, in my eyes, the greatest fighter in the UFC of all time is a man named Vince Pichel. Oh, God, he's right here. How embarrassing is that?
Guys. I mean, one of the best fighters, I just have to say it right now. I'm going to put it out there. Oh, my God, I'd say it's Vince.
I think you have to have categories here. You have to have clean fighters and best fighters because Vitor Belfort, TRT, is the greatest fighter of all time.
No, you can't even put him in there. No.
He was doing fucking shit that, like, out of video games. He was doing, like, he kicked Bisbing's eye out. And I love Bisbing. He's my friend. But his eye is literally out of his body because he could take his eye out because of Vitor Belfort.
But I mean, you know what? He was juiced to the fucking rafters, so I wouldn't count him.
No, that's what I said. Yeah, but if you have the asterisk. Juice.
Come on, bro.
If you have the asterisk goat, like if
he
you
was
have
originally
like,
juiced.
If you have the, like, if you have, like, in baseball, if you have home run hitters, right? If you have, like, Barry Bonds is the best home run hitter because of Juice Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire, legally, I'm just saying, the best.
No. It takes – I done that asterisk. It applies to him. Vitor.
No, you're right. You're right. Body, but I'm saying, like
– His whole build changed. And I just do not give him props.
No, I'm saying I'm going to have Khabib as the – Khabib and GSP.
Vitor got approved for TRT, though, so that's why he got all jacked like that for a bit.
Right. That's
true.
You
got approved for TRT, and then they're like, nah, you're taking advantage of this shit, motherfucker. He's like, took it away.
Well, dude, I'm on TRT, right? Because I went, and they said I was at 250 or 300, and now I'm up to 1,000, and I feel amazing. He was up to, like –
Damn.
He was up
strong
to,
like bull.
He was up to 18,000. Like, he had, like, fucking
18,000?
Yeah, he had, like, 18 times the limit that, like, you're supposed to have.
Can you imagine if you bust the old you bust the old Chael Sonnen line? They must have caught me on a high day or a low day or something.
His sperm probably shot through assholes of chicks.
And the wall, it shot through an asshole, the wall, and the wall next to the wall. But I just feel like fighters, don't get me wrong, I see why they use it, because you heal faster. But I'd say the people that are clean, I consider them more.
Of course.
But there's some people that don't.
But let's have two different categories. Vince.
Right.
Who's the best all-time great naturally, and who's the best all-time great with substance?
Honestly, I can't really say because there's so many guys that cheat that I don't really know who's fully clean, honestly. Like, I'm the only person that I know 100% sure that have never done steroids. I'm the only person that I know in fighting that I know for sure 100% have never done steroids.
Right. Okay. But let's say
that's people. That's really all I can say.
Let's say people have never been. Okay. So, like GSP, even though people said he has HGH gut and they say that he didn't pass the smell test, let's just assume that he's guilty. Assume he's innocent because he's never been proven guilty. Right. So, let's say, whereas John Jones hasn't proven guilty. So, based on people that have been caught and people have not.
I'd say,
okay,
GSP.
Well, yeah, GSP probably has the best credibility. He hasn't been caught by it. He's brought a lot of attention to it. He's actually the one that first started calling people out for using shit like that. So I'd probably say him, honestly.
And GSP?
Maybe Diaz is too. Maybe Diaz is too because they talk a lot of shit, but who really knows? It could just be a ploy that they use. They might use some corticosteroids use. Who knows? Because the way those guys are fucking training, you know?
All right, and who's the best juiced up of all time?
Juiced? Oh, geez.
John Jones, I mean, or Belfort?
For his day, I'm going to say, honestly, probably like, I don't know. I really like Sean Sherk because he was like the original juice monkey.
Yeah, he lost to BJ Penn, though.
Yeah. He did. But who knows? BJ probably was on steroids too at the time. Like, biggest
but
fucking
now
headache.
We're talking about conjecture. I'm talking about like based on like proven.
Probably Jones, honestly, because Jones has been like caught several times, right? Like, it's really no secret that motherfucker's on steroids.
So Shane, who's
him
your
or his brothers, Shane, honestly,
best natural and best dirty?
I absolutely would say GSP. A lot of motherfuckers are telling me like, well, GSP, he didn't win every fight. Doesn't matter. Even the people that beat his ass, he came back and beat their ass.
Yeah.
And I mean, there was a couple times where I was like, wow. I mean, he just came back and looked better each time in each fight. Jones for sure. But I think Jones is an asshole. It overweighs my – he is. Come on, man. He's a great fighter. I'm like, yeah, but as a person, kind of a dick.
I mean, O.J. Simpson is an amazing running back. I mean, we're not going to go on – how many great athletes were assholes? A lot of them.
No, I mean, but he's like another – like he goes to mountains and reports to monks who teach assholism.
There's a difference between being an asshole and being a piece of fucking shit, and that dude is a piece of shit.
Who
OJ or John Jones?
Jones. He has like really shitty fucking things that he does sometimes.
Yeah, come on, man.
He's a really shitty fucking person sometimes.
I mean, there was a couple people I think that beat him, and they didn't get the props. But I thought he got beat at least twice.
Yeah. I feel like it was close enough. I don't know. I feel like Jones is one of those fighters like Mayweather, where because you hate him, because he's so good, you always give the close rounds to the other guy. Like, if he was a guy that everyone loved, I feel like people...
I think the closest person that got to beat him was Gustafson. And if those last two rounds didn't go the way they did, I think Gustafson would have actually won that fight.
I thought Reyes beat him more convincingly because I think he really hurt Gustafson, where he never really hurt Reyes. But I definitely hear you. I got to watch the Gustafson fight again.
I watched the Gustafson, and the first fight, I'm telling you right now, I think that the last round, he kind of
– Like in the third round, halfway through the third and the fourth and fifth round is when Gustafson started getting picked apart and fucked up by Jones.
I hate when I'm like Chael Sonnen Silva, Kelvin Gastelum, Israel Adesanya. It's like that fucking last round. If they just would have won that last round.
No, but even with Chael Sonnen, you can't, you know, Chael Sonnen, and I tell people this, people are like, oh, Silva didn't plan that. He set him up for that fucking move.
All right, we talk about that 4,000 times.
So
you play it, you blow it off. That was fucking great.
He didn't plan the fucking lose.
He didn't plan it. They showed a video of him. That's the same thing that
He didn't say, I'm going to lose four mat rounds and 4 minutes and come back and try and the last round.
I'm going to be honest, too. Wrestlers are really susceptible to triangles and arm bars with their head pressure, with their extremely hard head pressure. A wrestler that doesn't know a lot of jiu-jitsu, like at the time he did, is really susceptible to triangles and arm bars like that.
But you just blow it off, Adam. You just act like, he did. And there's
didn't
a
plan that. He didn't have, there's
the
no way he fucking planned that.
You don't plan
losing four rounds and coming back.
No, I don't think it. No, but what I'm saying is, obviously he adjusted. And he said, okay, I'm going to lure him in. He lured him in. And then he started fucking You know, he definitely got him. And it was jujitsu wrestling.
He was losing and put all his eggs in that basket. And fortunately, it paid off for him because Chael Sonnen, who knows what happened if Chael would have won that fight, right? Like, all of MMA history would have been different, right, for the middleweight.
Cleaned up. Who's the best clean and best used?
Well, for clean, I got a few dudes. Number one would be Khabib. Number two would be GSP. And then you got to throw DC in there. You got to throw Stipe in there. Those are the heavyweight savages, dude. For tainted boys, my tainted boys, John Jones, number one. You know, people don't talk about Anderson Silva. You know, he tested positive for some suspicious supplements that I think he blamed it on Dick Bird, but Silva was a savage, dude.
After his leg up.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know, man. I think
what are you blaming on? Dick pills?
Yeah, like boner pills. Just like a John Jones blame.
And like Brazil, I feel like, and I know people are going to get me hard. In Brazil, you can get steroids at every single CVS. You walk around Brazil, it's like it's like, you know how like in California they have oranges on the street. It's like they have guys selling
steroids like that.
Steroids in the
street. ice cream truck, but a steroid.
And they don't
truck.
Look,
you can go to a CVS and buy whatever drug you want in Brazil.
And they don't look down on it. If you get caught, like, it's better to like lose, better to win and cheat than to lose in some ways. I feel like they don't look at it as like, they look at it as like, oh, so what? A lot of those Brazilians, I hate to say it, but it seems like when USADA came and started like really clamping down, a lot of those guys, like, I mean, look at, what's his name? Barão? Holy shit. Barão was, like, murdering everybody. And then all of a sudden, USADA came. He loses, like, 9 out of 10 fights. I mean.
When USADA came, all the Brazilians kind of fell off the top 10, didn't they? So, what, you notice a trend there, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. It just seems like. Yeah. All right. So, is anything else, Ween Dog, were you saying about that?
No, that was it. That's it.
All right.
Okay, again, I know we're going to talk about it. I just.
What about Chuck? What about Chuck Liddell as a dominant champion?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah, but we I think that people forget about Chuck Liddell sometimes, and I go, Chuck Liddell had a run like nobody else I've ever seen, until he ran into a couple people that just had his number.
I think Rashad was the first one to knock him out, right? And then after
even in Pride, Rampage fucking destroyed him a couple times. I mean, Rampage, like. Didn't he have him, like, bent over? Didn't he, like, knock him through the ropes or something? Like, he just...
Yeah. No, Rampage got knocked through the ropes by a Vandalay. He got fucking knocked outside of the
ring. Actually, Rampage beat him in Pride, then beat him again at the UFC, but knocked him out, like, with, like, a vicious... It was a vicious...
Yeah, but didn't Rashad knock him out first and then Rampage, or was it Rampage? Oh, was it?
After the Rampage fight, then... It was Rashad, because Rashad took the title from him.
Rampage took the title from him.
No.
Look it up, Lee.
I thought it was Rashad.
It was Rashad. Rashad won the championship from him. Rashad won the title. That was the thing. It was a huge upset. But Rampage.
I thought it was Rashad, but I remember after that, Chuck Liddell wasn't the same anymore because he never let himself heal and he was just getting knocked out from slaps after that.
Talking about the UFC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His first loss in the UFC was to Quentin Rampage Jackson.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, but was he? I don't think he was a champ then, was he?
Yeah, it doesn't say. And then he lost to Keith Jardine, and then he beat Wanderlei Silva. Then he lost to Rashad Evans. He just lost every fight after that.
Oh, wow.
So his first loss in the UFC was to Rampage.
Point Shang.
Oh, was it? And Rampage knocked him out?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, it was a Rampage fight.
And Chuck Liddell hit him with two, and then it looked like Rampage was like, that ain't going to stop me. And he literally walked through two punches and just fucking piecing.
Yeah.
Dude, how
that Graham Shaw knockout to me was worse, though, because he fucking, that uppercut just put him out.
Yeah.
Dude, Rampage was like, healthy. That was back in the day when you can get in trouble and the UFC would really cover for you, or somebody would cover for you. Remember when, like, Rampage went, like, on a rampage and, like, took his, he had his truck and was, like, mashing it into people's fucking cars? But he had Rampage written all over his truck. So it was.
Yeah, and he got away too. Didn't he like drive off to you thinking no one would know it was him?
Yeah.
You remember when he was like humping the reporter? Like just randomly humping her?
He used to hump every reporter that reported that.
Can't do that no more.
Dude, the dumbest crime, I remember I was reading the paper. Some guy got accused of like stealing, he was stealing parking meters, like just robbing parking meters. And then he got arrested and he posted his bail in all coins. Like, that's like,
funny. Such a dick move, but I love it.
But like, but who's the idiot, right? The government for taking those coins after they arrested for stealing coins? Like, fucking dumb. No.
But I, you know what? I was looking at some stuff online. They said that the top, like one of the top knockouts of all time was Rampage with a slam.
Oh yeah.
And he's getting triangled and he slammed that dude.
Yeah, I watched it and went, oh my god, this dude is not alive anymore.
That wasn't a dude. That was the coach over in Jersey. That was
That was in Pride, wasn't it? Wasn't that in Pride?
Yeah. Who was that? That was against fuck. I know who that was.
It was like a Chinese or a Japanese guy, like a really good guy too. I think
it was a legend. It was tell me, Rampage Arona. It was Arona.
Rona?
Yeah, but I was looking at all the different slams, and there's a
he slammed the fuck out of him that time too. It was like a
movie almost. Like, did he just pick him up that high?
There's a video of Rampage in high school at a high school wrestling match doing the exact same thing. Yeah, doing the same thing. Like, he's literally like 14 years old, and they were in like a state tournament, and he picks the guy up and fucking slams.
Yeah, he was fucking spiking people.
And then the match is over. They're like, dude, that was like the funniest thing. Like, Mike Pyle, I love Mike Pyle, told me his first UFC fight was against Rampage. It was in Tennessee. He just signed up, and there was a 50-pound weight difference. And Rampage threw him out of the ring, like kicked him and just tossed him out. And then I go, "What do you know?" He's like, "I rolled back in." Like he just went,
like it was WWF. He just counts to 10, get his 10 count to get back in.
But I mean, if you look at the top 10, they said top 10 knockouts.
Ricardo Arona.
Top 10 knockouts. I was like, I thought it would be more standing, but they said no. Like, across the board, voting wise, all MMA fans, they voted Rampage in the top 10. I was like, get the fuck out of here.
My first jiu-jitsu class ever at Legends, I didn't know. I went there and it came up in a triangle and I picked him up and slammed him. And then they stopped the class. The teacher was like, "You can't do that." And I'm like, "But I saw a guy on TV do that." They're like, yeah, we're not allowed to do that. I thought that was a legitimate, like, you're allowed to do that. But I guess I got in trouble for that. But Gerald Mearshart is here.
Hey!
He's here from his cabin. It was like that place that Dexter kills people. You know, where he's fucking like. Mearshart, how are you, man?
Those thin wood walls.
Yeah, no, I'm great. It's good to see you guys. Good to see you, Adam. You know, I was just talking to somebody the other day about my good friend Adam Hunter here, and he was like, "Hey, I heard you know this comedian." He's like, "What is he like?" And I was like, "Well, it's kind of like you ever go to the gas station real late at night in the kind of seedy part of town? There's like that old crackhead that's out front there. It's kind of like if that guy was doing Norm MacDonald jokes all night. It's pretty much the same thing."
Fucking lot lizard.
I'm not really good. That's either an insult or a compliment, depending on how I look at it.
I think it's both.
Now Mearshart, by the way, so Ween Dog, we think, has COVID. His girlfriend has COVID. He has anal sex with her all the time.
That's very relatable to the COVID positive test.
Now, you had COVID. What was it like for you?
For me personally, I was very fortunate. I had a stuffy nose for a couple of days. That was it.
That's what I have right now. I have like a runny nose and a little bit of a sore throat, but you know, it's no big deal. I'm still going to go out to the mall and everything.
You get like a headache or anything?
No, do not do that.
No.
Mearshart,
like a headache and stuff like that, like a lot of guys said they got?
No, not at all.
Now,
I didn't either.
Gerald, how long, but when you got COVID to when you didn't, how long did it take for it to go away?
Well, like I said, the symptoms lasted 2 days, and I felt completely fine after that. I was still working out in my little home gym, getting on the spin bike and stuff, lifting weights, but I didn't get a negative test for about 3 to 4 weeks. So as far as, like, how I felt healthy almost immediately, but I didn't get that test until, like I said, a little while later.
You were positive for 3 weeks every day?
I mean, every time I got tested, I would assume every day, but yeah.
That sucked. Yeah. Oh my God! I thought
they test you every day. They test you like every other day. Like, how does it work when you're like sick and they have you in there and they test you?
So for me, I came back to Wisconsin and it was just whenever I wanted to go get tested. So I would try to set it up. They said wait at least 7 days, right? Because before that, doesn't matter if you're healthy or not, it's still going to show a positive in the test. So I was like, all right, I waited 7 days. Then I waited another 7 days, and then I waited like 3 days, and I think I took one more 3 days after that before I finally got a negative.
Did your girlfriend have it too?
No. So luckily I was driving back from Vegas when that would still let you drive back. And she was able to go stay with her sister and quarantine with her. Well, not quarantine. I was quarantining. She was with her sister. So never came in contact with her. I had the dogs and the cat here. They seemed fine, and they didn't give it to anybody. So I was lucky.
How great was it to be away from your girlfriend for a couple of weeks? Did that clear your head?
Like, wouldn't that be a great thing?
Yeah, I was already gone for a fight week, man. I was getting excited to get back and see my girl when I got home, and then it was like another 2-3 weeks. It was just – I felt like you. I was like masturbating every 5 minutes.
Did you – like, was it regular porn? Did you go into – was it MILF porn? Was it
midget porn?
Midget porn is the best, by the way.
Well, let me just lay out the blanket statement that I plead the fifth. However, I will say that I have noticed that almost everything is turned into some kind of like step something, step
it's
sister,
the worst.
Step whatever.
It's so, you have to go to like fetish to find like not family members. Who is this for? Like who is step? It's ridiculous. All right, so let's get the elephant out of the room. Last fight didn't go as well as you wanted. Now here's my theory, right? You're best friends with Ben Askren, right? Askren got knocked out in 7 seconds, right? You said, Ben, I got you covered. Okay, don't worry. I will get you – I will get knocked out quicker, and that way it will take the stress off you. Everyone will make fun of me, but you missed it by 10 seconds. Is that what happened?
First of all, it was 12 seconds. Okay. It was 17 seconds. Still twice as long as you've ever lasted, I might add.
Very good point.
Yeah. The one thing I will say that, because you know the Ben knockout was getting overplayed a little bit, but I did see I had a picture of me helping Ben put on his gloves before his Robbie Lawler fight because I was there in his corner, and someone posted that picture and said this is what 22 seconds looks like. That was pretty good. I thought
Got it. Joe, I gotta talk to you.
What's up?
Last week's in the books. It's gone. But now is the time to review the tape and prepare for this week. There is no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes up for grabs. How cool is that? And if you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch means more with DraftKings. It's simple. Just pick your lineup underneath the salary cap and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. And for everyone who's looking forward to this week's UFC 254, which is us, okay, be sure to check out DraftKings MMA contest. How cool is that? UFC 254 with DraftKings. Here's your call to action. Download the DraftKings app now and use code ROASTED. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the Week 7 action, okay? Enter code ROASTED to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code ROASTED only at DraftKings. Make it rain! There's a minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Check it out. Now listen, was it one of the things where you were just expecting him to wrestle and shoot in and weren't expecting that punch?
I mean, I was expecting more wrestling, but it doesn't really do much good to be like, oh, what was going on? What was it? I got knocked the fuck out in like one punch. It sucked. The initial game plan was to make him chase me and make space so I could hit him. I ran into the cage early. He did a good job of cutting off my my right side, cutting off by my front hand, which you want to do against an opposite-handed fighter. And it's a small cage, so it's hard to make that space. You know, I could have hit earlier. I could have just went after him. I had a game plan. I failed to execute it, and, you know, that's what happens. And, again, the funniest part of all this, too, is everyone keeps coming after me talking like, oh, yeah, like I was talking shit. I never said the guy was bad. I kept saying how good he was. And then, you know, I didn't deliver on what I said I was going to do. And that's really upsetting for me because I'm like, at least if I was in there and I got to scrap it out with him and it was like, hey, he's just a better fighter, I could live with that. But I got touched once. I didn't even get to find out, you know, what it's really all about. So that kind of sucks, but it is what it is.
Well, you've knocked out a lot of people in your life. You have an amazing record. You're one of the best fighters in the UFC. It was a bad night at work. And I still think that you could beat this guy. I'm not even that sold on him yet, because I think that we really haven't seen him tested. We've seen you tested, but we haven't seen him tested. So,
well, that was my whole shtick, was what happens when he meets resistance. Now, I didn't provide any resistance. Granted, that's on me, and I would, I would more than love the opportunity to fight that guy again. I don't like him. I don't know what it is about him. He rubs me the wrong way. I genuinely don't like him. He came off kind of like a douchebag to me for really no reason. So, I'm all about that fight. Will I get it right away? Probably not. It's going to be hard to get back at that guy, especially because they're going to try and, fast track him. So, but hopefully down the line before I retire, I can get my hands on him.
Well, listen, man, you've had good nights. You've had bad nights. You're a fucking survivor. You got your guy who came into fighting at like 30 years old. You were like a banker. Okay. I think you were in college. You educated in like exercise or something. Like that was your major. You're a guy that literally have no athletic ability, and you're an amazing fighter. So, don't
what the fucking, fuck is going on here?
Don't let this shit get to you, man. Okay. You're a champ, bro.
Okay, but you again, Adam, it was just, like you said, it was a bad night at work. It doesn't mean the whole thing is. It's like, I think that you got to look at, even the best of the best has gotten touched.
Yeah, of course.
So you got to put that in your mind, the best of the best have got touched, and you go on to the next thing. You go, it is what it is, and the next shit. That's the way I look at it.
No, I love
it. There's very few top 10 guys that haven't been on the other end of a highlight reel of someone else, so it's just right. Part of the game, right? And fighting is a game of inches, and you give half an inch, and that motherfucker's gonna take the whole one. So it's just the way it is.
Exactly. And the most fucked up part about that, so like I've always heard that from my old coach, if you're on one side of the highlight reel, eventually you're gonna be on the other side. Unfortunately, it had to happen then, but the whole tirade Adam went on, he actually gave me more credit than I was due, because he said I was like an exercise major. I was in college to be a fucking music teacher. So he actually even gave me more credit than I should have gotten.
Hey, well, you learn breathing techniques.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're definitely the toughest music teacher out there. You're definitely the best music teacher in the UFC. So now, what did Dana say to you?
Wait, question. What was your favorite instrument, dork?
I should have saw that coming, Vince.
Yeah, what was your instrument?
No, my main instrument, I played the alto sax.
Oh,
no. Have you guys not seen my videos?
No.
I haven't seen any.
Nobody has.
No. Now I'm going to look, though.
Yeah. Adam's got my videos saved on a private
server. Burgundy and some bitches
on a private server.
No, I won't ruin it for you. Go to my Instagram. I'm sure Adam has it up right now on one of his phones that he was touching himself to before. And if you scroll down far enough, you'll see a picture of me playing my saxophone.
Yeah.
I like it, man. You're a badass, bro. You legitimately are a badass. What did Dana say to you after the fight? Anything?
I don't remember. I don't like when I got knocked out. I didn't wake up until I was in the back room, and it was like I had all my clothes on. So like I was in the fight, and all of a sudden I woke up in the back fully dressed, and I'm like, "Well, this is never good." Like shit. I don't know if he said anything to me or not.
All right. Okay. Was that the hardest you've ever been hit?
Again, I don't remember, so I guess that kind of means yes, right? But on the same hand, I look at it, I was like, dude, I this is the thing that doesn't make sense to me. And I feel like, because I got cracked 2 times in 3 months, like my last 2 fights have royally sucked. I think I didn't wait long enough between the Ian fight and this fight, and like my chin hadn't fully recovered, because I fought Thiago Santos and I didn't go unconscious. And even during that fight, while I'm getting pelted in the head, I'm like, why the fuck am I still awake? This gigantic man is beating the shit out of me. How am I still alive right now? And I was fine through that one. But then, that one, I fought a guy who came up from welterweight, and all of a sudden the lights are off.
Doesn't hey, make any sense. It's okay. It happened. You're gonna come back. You know you will. All right. You know you will. I know you will. Because you're a badass, bro.
But you know what? I've noticed a lot of people that if you don't give yourself time to heal between after you, you literally can repeat it. I think you gotta give yourself time to heal.
Yeah. You gotta heal.
There's something that doctors don't tell most fighters either when they get knocked out is your brain is like a muscle. So when you get knocked out, that's like pulling a muscle. That's like straining something or pulling something. So you need to rest that, right? And the only way to rest your brain is to stare at a fucking wall like a dumb shit and really not use any kind of your problem-solving skills. But most doctors don't tell you that kind of stuff. So remember earlier how I said Chuck didn't let himself heal and he was just getting knocked down, knocked down, knocked down. You've seen this from other guys too. It's because they don't take the time to let their brain heal like that. Like right. When I got knocked out, I stared at a wall for like a fucking month. Even after that, I was still like getting rocked from time to time, and I spent more time just like trying to blank myself out, right? And to this day now, I'm okay where I've got hit by some big shots and I don't get rocked as well. Like there's times where people don't know that kind of stuff, you know?
You said that with Chuck Liddell, so you think that's what happened? I don't think he's going to be there
for. Yeah, because Chuck got knocked down 6 months later. He's fighting again. Like, he should have been.
Well, I think he was on coke while staring at the wall.
Chuck Liddell. Yeah, after the Rampage knockout, and you think that after that it was like, oh, I didn't get myself down the hill, so he fought someone else, and then it repeated. Yeah.
Look at how soon he fought after that. Chuck fought, I think, within 6 months of that, and there's no way you can get knocked out the way he got knocked out and come back 6 months later and be 100%. There's just no way. Your body does not recover like that. Like you need to.
Well, let's talk to a guy right now who's 25 years old, 8-1, Kyler Phillips. Dude's on a fucking rampage.
Kyler, what up, man? Like this, like, what's up? What's up?
Your
last fight, you look so good, man. You came out there, you just fucking murdered that guy. And you know, you came to my show in Arizona, and you had smoking hot girl, you had the outfit, the whole thing. And I say to you, I go, who are you fighting next? And you go, some guy from Mongolia. You didn't know his name, and then you weren't fighting a guy from Mongolia. There was nobody. So how did you even prepare for this? Did you even know who you were fighting?
Yeah, so no, dude, I was trying to fight in June, July, August, September, and I was set to fight in September, and then I was going to fight in Vegas, and then I got a new opponent, that Mongolian dude, and then they said they had visa issues initially, and then I got the fight, we rescheduled it for September, and then we rescheduled again for October 3rd, and so I was set, and I was good. And then, like, literally 2 weeks before the fight, they said he just couldn't come for some reason. And so I didn't have an opponent until I got on the plane to go to Dubai. Wow. So they asked me, who do you want to fight? And they're like, I was getting on the plane, and they gave me a name, and I didn't even look him up. I was like, let's go. And then so flew first class and then went out there and just, you know, watched the dude. And I knew he was a heavy hitter and was going to come out hot in the first round. And it was fun, man. I had a great time. Used my Jiu wrestling Keto Ninjutsu Kai.
What? So everything in one word.
Now, afterwards, you started breakdancing. Are you worried about getting hurt? Because I always see guys when they breakdance after they win.
Johnny Walker?
Yeah, this kind of weird flip and stuff.
Trying to learn.
I do a lot of flips, and I used to break dance when I was in middle school, and I used to do parkour, and I've broken a lot of bones, like a lot, not just in jiu-jitsu, but from doing flips off of stuff. And I kind of, the crazy stuff, like the crazy twist stuff, I don't do anymore as much, but I'll still do, like, you know, corkscrews and stuff like that, but I'm not like going crazy, jumping off of lifeguard towers and trying to do a double front flip. You know? That's how you just break something. I can't even claim it by the UFC. You know what I mean?
Gerald, did you do a lot of parkour back in the day?
No.
Yeah, that's a weird thing. Just to, like, Gerald. So have you done that?
By the way, you're on the podcast with Gerald Mearshart, legend in the sport, and Vince from Hell Pichelle, a guy that got arrested 19 times for the age of 21. Learn how to fight.
I was going to say, my parkour was running from the fucking cops when I was a kid.
Dude, that's what parkour is about. I think that's where it comes from.
Really?
You can't really run unless you're scared.
Yeah, you watch those videos where they're like going over like the fences and they're jumping off the buildings and they're usually running away from people. You know, yeah.
Dude, if I was a cop and I had to chase one of those kids, I would just fuck that, dude. Get you got you could
just shoot him. No, that's it. I'll
catch him. Hit him with my car. Yeah.
So Kyler, man, you come a long way because, like, even the fights, like, they had you, like, you were on the Ultimate Fighter. Both, actually, all three of you were, right?
I was.
You were on the were Ultimate Fighter.
I was not on the Ultimate Fighter.
You were, I was on the contender too before the Ultimate Fighter.
You were on the contender, and you kept getting to like a certain level, and then it's been like you just sort of like you fought Brad Katona, lost the Ultimate Fighter, then came back. You fought Victor Henry the next fight. He was a really good fighter.
Yeah.
And then since then, you've run up, three fights in a row, three wins in a row. But they haven't given you any easy fights. I mean, you fought all studs pretty much.
Yeah. I changed. That was the best thing that happened to me. You know, first going to the contender, getting a knockout, then, in 40 seconds, not getting a thing. I was still young at the time. And, then the Ultimate Fighter was like, it was all just an internship. And that's how I thought of it. It's like you get into the big show kind of, but you're just like, kind of working, and then you go back. And, taking my first loss, that was the best thing that ever happened.
Well,
and especially taking the loss on a split decision.
I wanted to ask all three of you guys, it's a cliche, but you think that the loss is the thing that you need, especially when you're winning, the loss is the thing you need, I need to get this shit out of the way, and it makes you better after that? I mean, I've talked to a couple people that when you're fighting, I mean, I never saw it that way. I saw a loss. I was more damn, I lost. I'm fucked up.
I would say, man, if you got knocked out or you got choked out, you got finished, then yeah, that's damn, that sucks. But if it's a close split decision, you feel like you could have won a lot of times, and it's just that little edge where you're it's just that little you want to keep going. That's what burns inside. And I feel like if you can use it towards your advantage, and guys that have gotten knocked out and stuff like that and came back, I don't know. I think whatever you make of it.
I mean, Vince's first loss, you got slammed on your head. That was a crazy.
Yeah.
The fucking damn. He got super suplex
fucking six times in my head.
six times in a row by a Russian guy. But then he came back the next day against Anthony Njikawani.
Yeah, and I ruined Anthony Njikawani too. I was so pissed. I was super mad. I wrestled the fuck out of him too, because when I fought that dude and I lost like that, my wrestling was my weak link, right? And he exposed it a lot. So I worked on a lot of my wrestling after that, and I wanted to beat the fuck out of someone some wrestling. So that's why I fought Njikawani. To me though, I feel like wins will get a fighter momentum and strength. Like, they build your momentum, they build your strength and your abilities. But a loss to me is where a fighter will ultimately become more wiser as a fighter and learn from things, right? Like, you learn more from losses to me than a win. I think wins are good because they'll give you momentum and strength, right? They give you power in your abilities. But a loss will make you take a step back and be like, okay, I need to work on this, right? Like, yeah, I'm okay at this, but I could always be better. And this guy exposed it. So that's the way I see him.
Gerald, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it varies person to person. It kind of depends on how the loss comes, right? If you were training really hard and then all of a sudden you start slacking off and you lose, and it's like, oh, I got to stay in better shape. But, kind of to what Vince said, using it as a learning curve more than anything, and really focusing in on, because there's times too where you think, oh, I'm pretty good at this. And then all of a sudden you get into a fight and you can't do it. Say you think you're really good at jiu-jitsu. You get into a fight, you try and use your jiu-jitsu, and all of a sudden it's not working against a guy who it should work against, and it's like a reality check. Like, oh, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. And then you know what you need to work on. So as long as you can take the loss and get something positive out of it, I think that's important. But, beating yourself up over it isn't going to help anything.
Now, Gerald, have you always been a 60-year-old man? I feel
pretty much.
Have you ever actually just like – I feel like you've this wise man, but you've always been that old wisdom guy who looks angry and you can't tell if he likes you or not. Because every time I interview you, I'm like,
Gandalf, dude.
Every time I interview you, I'm like, this guy fucking hates my guts. And then afterwards, he'll text me going, that was so much fun. Thank you. And I'm like, oh, maybe he did have a good time. Like, do you ever, during sex, do you smile? Like, when do you ever actually?
He started the interview saying that you were a crackhead near fucking.
I know, but do you ever getting a blowjob? Are you happy then? Like, when are you actually happy? For real?
No, that's pretty. It's funny because since the time I was probably 16, I listen to NPR when I drive somewhere, and I different stuff like that. But then I'll text you I'm a 16-year-old girl, so it's this weird dual thing I got going on. But no, I'm a pretty happy person. I just, I look fucking old as shit all the time. I look like I got some city miles on me is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, there you go.
But Kyler looks like a 12-year-old. I mean, he's I don't even think that's not even his house. By the way, Kyler, what nationality are you?
Dude, Kyler looks like Teen Wolf to me.
Yeah.
Teen Wolf, dude.
Dude, no, I'm Vietnamese, Portuguese, Irish.
Wow.
Yeah, mixed breed, yeah.
It was a big orgy or something? Where did your parents meet?
They met at some ice cream shop or something in California.
At least that's what they told you.
That's exactly what they told me, yeah. You know, the 80s.
Now, what's your background? Now, have you been doing MMA your whole time? Or you did wrestling, karate?
I started with jiu-jitsu. Started with jiu-jitsu at 3 years old, then just kept doing that, and then wrestled, did, like, Greco freestyle in high school. And then I was always doing, like, taekwondo and, like, boxing stuff, and then, like, kickboxing classes. And then I started doing Nikitokai. I'm actually here at Two Knuckle Sports Gym, so I got my black belt in Nikitokai about a year ago, so now I'm a sensei. So now, you know, I got all the power, bro.
Yeah.
He's all black belt, man.
You gotta watch.
Yeah,
how do your parents put you in jiu-jitsu at 3 years old? Like, you're choking kids out of three?
Yeah. Oh, dude, so I'll tell you a sick story. So my dad, he just put me in jiu-jitsu at the Gracie Academy at, like, three, but I have, like, super bad ADD. You know, I thought it was just a joke, but I was learning arm bars. I was learning Americanas. The fact was I was learning, and he never really pushed me. Then I got older. I wanted to do it. It was my decision, but I was always around it. But the first time I ever experienced something where I liked was when I was, like, in the third grade, and there's this kid. He was, like, in the eighth grade, and he was picking on me in the jumper at a party, and he was, like, slapping me. And I went to my dad, and I was, like, crying. I was like, I don't know what to do. My dad's like, why don't you just take him down, single leg him, go to mount, start smacking him, take his back and choke him out. And I was like, oh, okay. I listened to my dad. I go back in the jumper. I ankle pick him, dude. I did, like, a freaking Gracie ankle pick, you know, pass guard, straight to mount, start smacking him. He turns. I sink in the choke, and I'm like, ooh, and I was, like, crying. And then he was just, like, belly down. And I just kept – and then I just heard him snore. Like, I just hear him snoring. And then my dad's, like, on the side. He's like, Kyle, let go, let go. And I let go, and the kids just passed out. And I was like, dude, that was a pretty sick experience, you know. But all the odds of everybody at the party were like, you could have killed him. What's wrong with you? And I was just like, ah, dude, I liked it.
You're not allowed to go to no more kids' parties.
Not allowed to go to any more fucking moon bouncers.
I became
no
the bully
for fucking Kyler.
And he was a hired entertainment there too. I don't understand. How does your dad know such specifics? Was your dad he trained too?
Yeah. So he was always around martial arts his whole life, and he was, because my grandpa was a 3-star general Marines, so he was always moving around. My dad was always, like, in Hawaii, like, Japan, all over the world, like, doing martial arts.
Did,
like,
your grandfather fight for the Viet Cong or for the U.S.?
I mean, he fought it all, man. And it's crazy, though, because my mom's from Vietnam. And good thing Viet Cong's not in my blood, dude. I'm from the South, man.
Oh, okay, got it.
You know what I'm saying? I forgot what my train of thought. But, no, yeah, my dad just – we were living in Torrance at the time. That Hoist was fighting in the UFC, and that was in Torrance. So my dad was like, oh, sick. So he just put him in it, and we were doing that. And then we went to the Machados when I was probably like 6 years old. And then we moved out to Temecula when we got Dan Henderson. But back then it was Team Quest, and then Carlson Gracie Jiu-Jitsu in Temecula.
So you had, like, the greatest coaching ever by the age of seven.
Yeah.
Like, you were at Gracie, Machado, and Hendo, Team Quest, all before you were six years old.
Dude, it was a part of that whole, like, I don't know. There's a bunch of kids, or a couple kids that have gone up that have been doing jiu-jitsu since then. But it's cool to see back then kids doing, like, the underground MMA, fighting at, like, Saboba Casino, you know. And you don't have to wear the shin guards and headgear and stuff like that.
I mean, some people will call child abuse.
Pancration tournaments.
Some people call that child abuse, but fuck it. It was successful in this situation.
Not they're abusing each other.
Yeah. That's a good point. Now, did you win any world championships?
I won the worlds in jiu-jitsu at blue belt at 16. And then I got my purple, then I got my brown. And then I've been a brown belt for about 5 years, and I just been focusing on MMA since then, and I kind of, like, fell away from jiu-jitsu competition.
Right.
But I still got it.
Of course. Dude, you're killing it, bro. You're fucking killing it.
Yeah, but I gotta ask Gerald, what made you switch and go, you know what? I think I want to be punched in the face for fucking.
Man, like, no offense to jiu-jitsu, but like, dude, you know, he punched a black belt once in the face of a brown belt. He punched him three times more. He's a white belt. You know, like, just getting into the so much like Barambolo and like, you know, sitting down, pulling guard time was great, but it was just, especially from a wrestling background, you know, wrestling at Temecula Valley, having good coaches, doing like, you know, staying on top and like learning to fight, you know, it's like, I didn't know if I wanted to just keep doing jiu-jitsu, maybe have a gym when I was older and just do that only and butt scoot for the rest of my life or or become a fighter who I actually am. And so I went to GCU in Arizona and I was listening to my mom, you know, my mom's Asian, you know, pushing me hard to try to be a doctor and I was going to be an orthodontist.
Oh, what an idiot.
And yeah. And then I like realized after, you know, I like just went against it and I was like, fuck this. I was like, I'm dropping out of school to pursue fighting at the lab. So I just went to the lab full time from there, lived at the fighter house, didn't have a job or no car, nothing. And then just, you know, what, seven years later, I'm right here, you know.
Well, you're 25 years old. You're 9-1 in the UFC. You're doing pretty damn good. You know,
that's really good.
Oh my God. Mearshart, have you ever thought about going back to saxophone?
Yeah, probably not professionally. I don't think saxophone players make that much compared to MMA fighters.
So before you came on, Kyler, Gerald was going to be a music teacher. And then he realized, okay. And then he realized, I'm not getting any pussy. Like,
he wasn't like, trying to get at the kids, the kids' moms and stuff?
Yeah, did you ever hook up with any of the kids' moms?
Why do you think my line is, I'm your mom's favorite fighter? Come on now.
Oh man, that's awesome. Now, did you actually coach kids in music or no, Mearshart?
Did I coach kids in music? No, like, I assistant taught a little bit when I was in high school and college a little bit. I did teach them a little, yes.
I feel like you'd be horrible as a teacher because you would like not give any compliment. You would just stare at them and then you're wondering if you're committing, like contemplating suicide the entire time during the, is that a fair assessment or no?
Well, no, I was a halfway decent teacher. You know, keep in mind that I didn't look like I was 60 then. I was like 19. So.
You don't look like you're 60 now.
I don't think you look like you're 60.
No, but like it's funny. 70. It's funny hearing the reasons that people get into martial arts, and like, and it seems like it's consistent. Either their dad, like my pops, was like, "Don't be no bitch." And you ain't gonna be no. That was his thing. It's like, and sometimes I didn't want to go because.
But what happened?
I would be hurt like 2 days later, and he'd still be like, "You're being a bitch." And I was like, "I don't know if this is a good way to do this," but he was like, "If you don't look back down, you're a bitch." And so it would make me mad, so I would go back. So it was more like each person's dad or something that made you get into it. And I noticed, like, that's why I wanted to know. It's like, of all things, to get punched in the face. For money.
You guys, honestly, I don't thank you guys enough because it was during quarantine. This would be so boring if not for you fighters. You guys are so inspiring. You guys are modern day gladiators. And no matter how bad days might go, and if I have fights to look forward to, I want to thank you guys for real.
Thank you.
So that's the honest.
That was sincere as shit.
Yeah, yeah, man. I appreciate that from the bottom.
It's true.
Kyle was like, yeah, that was kind of, that was a little yogurty.
I swear to God.
It's legit.
It's fucking legit. I mean, you guys are honestly,
I know, man.
And you're honestly like good people, most of you. Now, as far as.
Vince was right about Jones. It was so funny. People, like, you saw how many people come at me on Twitter. Because I think Jones as a person is a piece of shit. As a fighter, great. As a person, kind of a piece of shit. And people are like, well, you don't know what he's going through. I'm like, doesn't matter.
All right, let's talk about the fights this weekend. Gaethje versus Khabib. We got to get fighter picks. Kyler. You go first. Who wins this fight? Why?
Oh, dude. If I was going to roll the dice every time, it'd probably be beat more times on Khabib. But I want Gaethje to win. I think he can win, for sure. But I just can't say, man. I don't really make bets. I'm not really a gambler.
Well, you don't wear condoms. All right.
I don't.
I don't, so, yeah.
Mearshart, who wins this fight?
Well, it's hard to pick against a guy who's never lost, right? But I will say, if I was going to build a fighter from scratch specifically to beat Khabib, he would look a lot like Justin Gaethje. That being said, I would still put money on Khabib because no matter what the other person does, he does not change what he's doing, and he's very persistent. Gaethje does mostly the same thing throughout all his fights, but he will change his tactics a little bit more than Khabib will, and I think, not that it's a hesitation, but just since he's willing to deviate a little bit more, that might be the difference where Khabib was like, I don't care what you do, I'm going to grab a hold of you and get to the floor.
Who does that favor, Khabib or Gaethje?
I think it favors Khabib.
Well, but wow. Okay. And then Vince?
I'm going Gaethje. I kind of agree with Gerald. Like, man, trying to say he's going to beat someone who hasn't been beaten in MMA is a hard thing to say, right? Like, and Khabib's been so dominant in all of his fights, and I don't think he's even lost a round in the UFC, right? So it's really hard to bet against him. But I really am rooting for Gaethje, and I feel like Gaethje, if there was like a cookie cutter that could beat Khabib, it'd be right. Something of Gaethje and honestly, Tony. I think Tony's still got a really good style as far as that could beat Khabib. But who knows? I don't know if we'll ever see that fight now.
And Shannon, you're going for Gaethje, right?
I'm going for – no, I think Gaethje's gotten smarter. I think he doesn't rush in like he used to and take too much punishment. He paces himself more. His distance is better before his footwork's better than it's been ever. At least his footwork was better last fight. So I think that I don't think that Khabib has fought somebody on that's standing that is like Gaethje. I think Gaethje. Now, if he gets against the cage, and
no more ifs. We're just gonna say
I'm saying if Khabib gets him against the cage, everybody.
I know, but you can always. I hate people.
I Gaethje. I'd say Gaethje. I'm going for Gaethje.
Yeah, we're all team Gaethje.
I think Khabib's going to win. Although the more I watch these specials and this, then the more it leads me to Gaethje. But then I always fucking get fooled and then think they're going to win based on these countdown specials. Because I start believing what I'm seeing versus what I think is actually going to happen. I think Khabib's a gorilla. I think he's going to gorilla strength him, take him down, just beat him up. Ween Dog.
Hey. Well, dude. We've seen Khabib go against great strikers. We've seen him go against great wrestlers. Look at Conor and then look at Ali Aquinta. And, so, you know, Justin Gaethje is sort of like a combo between, like, McGregor and Ali Aquinta. So, I don't know, man. I think Khabib is going to weather the storm, and I think he's going to be able just to pull out the decision or a TKO in the fourth or fifth round. So
Kyler, who was that, by the way, Kyler?
What?
Who the fuck's am I? Who's that guy?
No, the other guy. The guy was just talking. That was my first time.
Oh, Ween Dog.
I'm the co-host slash producer of this podcast.
What up, Ween Dog?
What's up, man? Kyler? Big fan.
All right, so Robert Whittaker versus the...
Look at this angle.
Versus the gorilla.
Look at this angle, bro.
You look like you're like Thanos tall. You're
versus the killer gorilla, right?
Hey, put your dick away.
Whittaker versus the killer gorilla. Kyler, who wins?
It's killer, dude.
I feel like it's like POV porn right now, by the way. All right, so...
You know, the angles.
Yeah,
Killer Gorilla for sure. Team MMA Love.
Killer Gorilla. This is called MMA Love? Oh, good. I like that better. Mearshart, who wins?
I got Cannoneer for that one, actually. I think Whittaker makes too many mistakes, and Cannoneer stays structured too well, and that dude freaking hits hard.
Vince?
I'm going the same. I think Whittaker – I really like Whittaker. I think Whittaker's a really underrated fighter because when he's on, he's like – probably one of the hardest guys to fight, right? He's a really tough fight for anybody. But I think Gorilla is just, he's on fire right now. And Whitaker's kind of like, he doesn't have his tunnel vision like he did before, right, with fighting. So I think he's a little distracted by something. I'm not sure, but I think Gorilla's going to take it.
Shang?
I think that Whittaker, ever since Stylebender, I think that he's not as, even that last fight, he doesn't seem as focused. So I'm going to go with, I like Whittaker though. Fuck it. I like Whittaker. Fuck it.
Maybe his brain never recovered, you know?
Earlier.
Yeah.
That could be. I don't know.
Stylebender did kind of put it on him. Let's be real.
Oh, yeah. He fucking killed him.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I think that since then he just seems different. But I like him as a fighter, and he is when he's on, he's on. Like I'm Vince. But Vince knows what the fuck he's talking about. That's why, because Vince is the smartest man in the world, and that's the truth. You are, man. No, but that's right. Exactly the same shit. I thought if he's on and he's focused, that motherfucker's a monster. So. But I like him, so I'm going with my bitch ass feelings. So I'm gonna go with Whitaker.
I'm gonna go with Whitaker because I'm going with my feelings too. Ween Dog.
Well, it's interesting because Jared Cannonier is like favorited on almost every betting site right now, and most people have him winning by KO or TKO. And I'm gonna go with that pick. I'm gonna pick Jared Cannonier via KO just because Robert Whitaker, it's like he gets rocked in every single fight, and you don't want to be the person that gets rocked in every fight when you're going against motherfucking the killer gorilla, dude.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, next one. Kyler Phillips, nicer butt, Misha Tate or Mackenzie Dern?
Oh, they're fighting.
Who has a nicer ass? That's the question.
No, better butt.
Oh, for reals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen Misha Tate in person.
Why'd you look like that? Why'd you look way all sus like that?
I would have to say Mackenzie because I've met her. Like, yeah. I know what it looks like.
Well, you know what it looks like in person? Like, it's been on your face?
No. I've rolled with her.
Oh, wow. This wasn't a real question, by the way. I just made that up. All right. But the real question is Alexander
Volkov. Now Tonquino's going to beat me up.
No, he won't. He was saying she's a nice butt? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
That's a good point. All right.
I got Misha on that one.
Really, Misha?
Yeah.
Come on. Dern's
a great butt. Hot.
Yeah, she's really hot. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think Dern's is that attractive to me. She's not. She doesn't do it for me.
Mir Sharp?
Yeah. The shape.
I'm not picking Dern because I think her accent is fake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a big turnoff. You know,
it's real, bro.
No, stop it.
It's a brain. It's some type of a brain, you know.
I'm not saying it doesn't sound legit. I'm just saying you don't go from speaking like like she sounded like you before, and then all of a sudden she had a Portuguese accent.
Yeah, I think it's some type of brain thing that her brain, maybe it's like a.
You think she got a hit and all of a sudden she has an accent? Like, in her thoughts have accents?
I don't think that's possible. That's possible.
What the hell happened?
Honestly, maybe she was just hanging out with a lot of Brazilians in her camp and it just kind of came out. Like, that happens to people sometimes.
By the way.
Yeah.
By the way,
it's like me. When I start teaching jiu-jitsu, I develop a Brazilian accent. You guys ever do that? Like,
now, I heard that the Dagestans, the mafia, surrounded you before that last fight. Is that what happened?
Yeah, they surrounded me at a quarantine hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Really?
Oh, no, they didn't do that.
Oh, no. But did Chimaev and them, they didn't come up to you and, like, talk shit to you beforehand?
Oh, I know what you're saying. Yeah. He was, like, walking past me, and he was – I can only guess that he was trying to talk shit, but it's kind of hard because we all have masks on, and he speaks really, really quietly for some reason.
He does, yeah.
And he's got a little mouth.
Yeah. Well, and I think he said something. I don't know what the fuck he was saying. He was trying to say something, and I was like, yeah, all right. And he was just all swolled up. His buddies, like, seemed fine. They were nice. They were like, oh, hey, like, sorry, this guy's a dick.
Right. Was he like, I heard you were in band camp? Was he making?
He might have said that in Russian, but I don't speak Russian. So I don't.
Can you bring your saxophone?
I'm going to start bringing it for fight week because I swear to God, now every fucking reporter is like, oh, did you bring your sack? Like, I'm just walking around with that shit. It's not a small instrument.
Maybe you could walk to the octagon playing the saxophone. That could be, like, your thing. That could be.
No, I think if you did that, that would be.
You could do your own walkout music.
That would be
awesome. That'd be tight.
That would be awesome. Like,
instead of a rapper, you'd have a saxophone.
I know.
Instead of Justin Bieber,
get a whole marching band behind you. No, like, just that
would be. Let's not get too Bellator here.
Yeah. Oh, shit. That was fun.
All right. So, your teammate, Casey Kenny, right? Is that your teammate?
Yeah.
All right. He's fighting Nathaniel Wood. Any insight on that fight?
I think he's going to fuck up Wood. Wood's good. He looked good when he was fighting Dodson.
But I feel like there's some things that he's just going to slip up and start, like, you know, roll ball effect and or snowball effect, and he's going to start to be behind. I think that's going to happen. Maybe he won't get knocked out right away, but it'll, like, Casey will start getting his momentum, start catching stuff. Because you saw that last fight. Oh, I was really impressed, dude. You see the leg kicks, and he was touching his pull too. And, yeah, I've never seen him like that. And I feel like he's just starting to get to his prime, you know.
Wait, what's a pull too? Fucking, like, you dodge and then throw, like, come back with a right hand?
Yeah, it's like his, like, sugar, you know, like the boom, yeah.
Yeah, now let's talk about Sugar.
Sugar Punch. Yeah, that's your, about Sugar.
So I'm a big Sugar fan. I've liked him before the UFC, during the UFC. I know he got all kinds of hype behind him. I'm kind of on his side. Normally a guy loses and I'm like, if he makes excuses, I'm like, you know. But I feel like his ankle fucking did give out. Like, it wasn't like he checked the kick. It seemed like it was a fluke accident, no?
Yeah, I mean, you saw Michael Chandler and Brent Primus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Chandler's a beast. Dude. He beats him 9 times out of 10. Like, but he got the belt in that fight, so it's kind of it's hard to say.
You can't really, like, I don't know. People were looking to hate on that.
I think it was either like a pre-existing condition that he already had. Like, he might have had some minor ankle pain already, and then that check made it worse, or it was that check that just kind of made his ankle go dead, you know?
Mirror shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, I've rolled my ankles plenty of times. Luckily, it's never happened in a fight, but I didn't have a problem with that. The only problem I had was when he was, like, mentally, I'm undefeated. I was like, are you? Are you really?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying it's your fault, but to not accept the loss outright for whatever reason it is.
He did was saying that, but actually, like, a couple weeks later after his fight, I posted a picture with him, and in the comments he put whatever and won. like, I got a bunch of random people hating on my page. Like,
he definitely, I think that he should have accepted it a little smoother. I think that's
My favorite was the meme of him at the table that says, I haven't lost, changed my mind. That's the best one.
He's playing the social media card, but I mean, UFC was hyping him beyond belief before he was at that point.
Honestly, dude, he's a big motherfucker for 135. I didn't realize how tall he was. He's like a big, very tall motherfucker.
Yeah.
Very tall. And Cheeto's a big boy, too. Like, Cheeto's a little taller than me, for a 35er.
Now, Kyler, last time he came on the show, he said him and his girlfriend invite other girls over for, like, play sessions. Are you ever invited to those?
Wait, what?
Forget
it. This is great.
Talking about Tim Welch?
No.
I was on the show. I was on the Timbo Sugar Show podcast, like, last week.
No, I heard that him and his girlfriend bring home other girls. They have, like, they're like, you know.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Now, are you invited to these sessions too, or are you in the
corner? No. Kind of sucks. Yeah. I get my sneak peeks though. I get my sneak peeks.
Sneak peeks.
He's got little people with the camera, like, on the
previews.
Has Uncle Creepy ever walked in jerking off during this? Because Uncle Creepy said on the podcast, Chuck Liddell used to have threesomes, and he would walk in the room jerking off, and Chuck would be like, "Take care of my friend." Mirror Shark, have you ever been with a girl and have Creepy ever show up?
No.
Thank you.
No.
Dude, fighters are freaks, bro. Fighters are freaks.
Well, so Vince has like 3 kids now. He was single two weeks ago.
My mouth shut.
Yeah, Vince is like, you see how quiet Vince got? Like, maybe I don't want to talk about this.
I'm not trying to be the dude driving the minivan around with, like, a bunch of car seats. Yeah, that's what's up, though.
That's awesome. My life right now.
He's like, I got 3 kids, but it's like nobody ever comes up to you. Hey, you, are you with your fucking 3 kids? Oh, shit. Unconscious.
Well, I mean, Chris D'Elia has a minivan with the thing, but those are his dates. Amir Shart, when are you going to propose? It's been, what, 6 years already? What's going on?
To you? Never.
I'm saying, like, to your girlfriend. How long have you had this girlfriend for?
No, we're married already.
Oh, you're married? Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, you're not doing the Conor McGregor thing?
Wow, what a shit reporter.
Or the John Jones thing?
No, I'm not. No, definitely not. And I'm staying away from the coke. I'm like those two. So,
oh yeah.
How long have you been married for?
We got married in, what was it, March? It was May 15th. And it was on a Zoom call because it was during COVID.
Oh, congrats, dude.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Congrats. Did you get Zoom bombed by a guy jerking off in the like during the ceremony? Because that would be
someone finish. Wasn't you a jerking off, bro?
You say a lot of jerking off shit.
That's okay. So you got married via Zoom call? That's so like family, everyone came like via Zoom.
No, it was literally just my wife and I at our house. We had the laptop set up, and then the official worker from the courthouse was at her home. And I know this because I could hear three kids in the background, like running around creating ruckus. And they just had us like sign this paperwork, put your ID, your license up by the webcam, show your birth certificate. She checks off on everything. You mail it in, and you're done.
That is so.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine you're like getting married, right? And it's on a Zoom call, and she's like at her house, and she's like doing her little, she's like going through a speech, and then her kids in the back, I said no fucking cookies!
Yeah, it got close to that, not quite that extreme.
Was your girlfriend illegal? Like, why did you, how come you guys didn't have a regular marriage? Like, you have to get married to her for taxes? Like, you couldn't, like, is this why?
Green card, bro, to get married.
So this was like when everything was locked down. So we had that date set, and they were like, okay, legally we're going to go through it at this date. And then we had the ceremony later.
Nice. Okay. Well, that's awesome. Was this a ceremony on Skype?
No. It was really small though. It was only like 30 people because again, COVID's still a thing and people are.
Did Ben Askren show up?
No, Ben Askren.
What is with you and Ben Askren?
I like Ben. I thought you guys were best friends.
But ever since you were like before he got knocked out. You were more. Now you're just giving him shit.
I love Ben Askren. He's a good buddy.
Yeah, Adam wants to run his fingers through Ben Askren. After the flying knee, you just been like, yeah. What about Ben? Is he awake? That's fucked up.
He knows Ben and I are friends, and he's still upset because we were asking about his wrestling credentials, and you know, one of Adam's friends told us that Adam was a two-timer, and we're like, oh, really? A two-timer in high school? Yeah, two times he qualified to make wrestle-offs to get the JV team.
Four-timer.
Four times, he says.
I was a four-timer. Was Rufus there? Duke Rufus? Did he show up?
No, it was, like, strictly family.
Oh,
it was, like, just family. And I'm not related to Ben or Duke, so no, they weren't there.
Got it. All right. Well, listen, this has been some podcast. We've learned a lot today.
Great episode.
Who are you, Kyler? Who do you want to fight next? Kyler, who do you want to fight next?
What?
Who do you want to fight next?
I'm gonna fight soon. I'm gonna get another one in before the end of the year. So whoever can get me.
Big?
Yeah.
Any opponent, or do you know who?
No opponent yet.
Yeah. Who do you want to fight?
Maybe somebody that fights at 135. No, for real. Yeah, and I'm in the works right now of getting a name, so I'm just gonna say yes and then go.
Got it. Yeah.
Mirshar,
who do you want to fight next?
Well, I ain't gonna be fighting for a while, but everyone seemed to like the Ed Herman fight, so I'm not opposed to that. That had a lot of hype behind it. But I'm taking a long time off. I definitely won't fight until 2021. And like the very earliest it would be is March, but it'll probably even be after that.
Cool. Vince, any fight coming up? Any news?
Right now I'm fighting obesity and old age. I'm in the gym right now. I'm going through a little minor injuries, coming back from the fight right now, pushing too hard, coming back. So I'm just kind of slowly trying to wing myself back and look for a fight. I'm still trying to fight by the end of the year. Hopefully I can get something in December. If I have to take another short notice, I'm going to. I'm just trying to keep my body from falling apart on me right now, my old ass.
Got it. And then, Ween Dog, what do you have coming up?
Go subscribe to my YouTube channel, The Joe Perez Show, and TikTok at The Ween Dog, or at Ween Dog. I don't know. One of the two.
Don't TikTok, bro.
I got a YouTube channel.
Did I ever show you that meme about guys at TikTok, bro? I'm going to send it to you.
Send it to me, bro. I have 10,000 plus views on each one of my videos. I'm a TikTok celebrity, bro.
You still wear panties, bitch.
Right. I don't give a fuck. I like the way they feel on my pee-pee.
Whoa. Shane, sorry, what do you got coming up?
Just make sure you check out the website. I am shang.com. And the special Shangri is called Shangri. So the
Shangri.
I give you guys so much props, man. I don't know how you guys keep doing it. I was in so much pain so many times. And to see you guys fight through that shit is just gangster, man, because – Man, after a couple of times, I'm like, God damn, I'm going to be feeling like this for a long time. So
maybe you were almost there. You were almost there, but you just didn't get over that line.
Well, this is back in the 1920s. They didn't have gyms in the 20s. It wasn't MMA back then.
It was. Oh, shut up.
During Prohibition.
Because I'm older. Because now I'm older. I don't want to get hurt.
He was still fighting Prohibition.
Shut up, Adam.
Yes, by the way, I will be doing a live stream show from Flappers tomorrow night, Friday night. You can watch it. Follow me on Instagram for the link. And then also... I'm at the Alameda Comedy Club. I'm in Las Vegas at the LA Comedy Club New Year's Eve. Come see that.
Are you doing any clubs near me anytime soon?
Venice tonight. Venice, well, that's not really near you.
Tonight you're going to Venice?
Yeah, Venice, California.
Are they allowing like crowds and stuff?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
I'll send you the link. And then December 18th, I'm doing my comedy special. I can't say for what network, but it's going to be huge. Kyler, do you highlight your hair or is that your real hair?
I got highlights like a year ago. My mom did my highlights with my brothers. We were in Florida.
Right.
Oh. Okay.
Manny, can you say highlights?
Playing sense.
Got it. This has been some show, people. Some show. Thank you, Mearshart. Please don't kill me. I can't tell. You give me that look.
He made the face.
He does look pissed off all the time, doesn't he?
Oh, my God.
It
looks like every guidance counselor I've ever had.
What the hell did you go to school?
You never listened to them.
She just looked at me like just disappointed. So anyway, thank you guys so much. Take care and have a great week.
Bye-bye. All right, man.